I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen.
It is Easter. When you sign up to be a pastor, you get a set of tickets, and I have never cashed in one of these tickets. So today I'm going to do it. I'm going to say for the first time in the service, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Okay, thank you for that. That's one of those check boxes. We are here to celebrate. You guys look great. Every moment of fuss you put in, I see the bright colors. I see what you did. Some of you needed to spend some more time on your hair. We'll talk about that later. But other than that, we're doing really well this morning. Hey, we're just singing some songs today in light of the fact that He is alive. And I just wanted to take a few seconds, I'm going to step away from the light, to just celebrate what we did collectively on these banners. So because He lives, I am saved by His grace. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. We've heard that one, and I love it. Because He lives, I am His, He is mine forever. The veil is torn. We heard about that tomorrow night. And the more you look, and I encourage you at the end of the service to come up and look, the more you read, the more you'll see. Because He lives, I will see my beloved son David again in heaven. Can we say praise Jesus for that? And so really, really nice job, family, expressing your hearts. This one is full of a whole nother set of sentiments, because Jesus is writing a story, a redemptive story. He is making all things new in the heart of everyone who has trusted in Him, and that is what we are here to celebrate today. And so I'm going to get out of the way, but I am blessed to be with you. I'm blessed to hear experience the energy in the room. And would you just for a few moments, it's Easter. Maybe you're the kind of person that doesn't normally feel comfortable singing. Maybe just let it go today. Maybe just don't worry about who's watching. Maybe do worry about who's watching, dads and moms, because your little ones are. And maybe this is actually the highest purpose for human praise, why we're gathered here today. So let it go. Let it go. And I'm going to step out of the way and I'm going to sing with you. So happy Easter. It is a joy to be together this Sunday.
This morning. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of us singing and lifting our voices to him. It is good to be together and to sing to a Savior, to a God who lives. And that's why we get together. That's why you look so good this morning, though some of you need to apparently address your hair. Because our Savior, our God, lives. And so we're not dead. We can live eternally with our Savior, with our Heavenly Father. It's good to be together. It's good to sing. We're going to sing a couple more songs. It's going to remind us of that truth. So continue to lift your voice. Continue to celebrate, because our God lives eternally, and we celebrate a risen, living Savior. You guys ready? Let's go.
Oh,
That was fun. That was fun. Let me pray for us, and we're going to continue to worship together. Lord, what a day that we celebrate. Lord, the day that you showed that you crushed sin and death. Lord, the day that you crushed death for us. And so, Lord, we celebrate this morning. We are joyful. We are people who are not to be pitied. We are people who are victorious if we are in you. As we trust you, Lord, we experience your victory. So, Lord, we love you. We praise you this morning. We look forward to a morning where we'll celebrate in your word, where a day where we'll celebrate as families individually. But this morning, Lord, a family of however many people are in this room, we're going to celebrate you together. Lord, and we pray this morning that you would send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to help us to hear your word well, to grow in our walk with you, and to celebrate you rightly. Lord, we praise you, we worship you, because you are worthy of praise. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Family, you may be seated. It is a good morning. You guys can sing well. I'm a little sweaty. So kids, you are dismissed. Have a great day in kids' church. If you don't know which way to go, follow the arrow on this screen, not that screen, this screen, so you can get to the right place. And you guys have a great morning. Love y'all.
Thank you, Mark. Well, good morning, everyone. Good to be with you. What a wonderful time of worship and celebration we have already had. I'm glad to see Kenny sweating. I have a reason. I'm a little under the weather, so I have a reason, so I don't feel so bad to see his head dripping wet. We're so thrilled that you were here today. We want to celebrate the risen Savior with you. We want to remind you that we do this every Sunday. We celebrate the risen Savior, not just today, although this is a special day set aside. This is what we do the first day of the week, is to celebrate the risen Savior. Just want to bring a few things together because we have celebrated over the last week, beginning with Palm Sunday, all the way through today. So kind of bring a few things together, but I have been in a pattern of announcing somebody that was passing out one of those nice little Easter bags, gift bags. And so some of you have taken advantage and you've given those out, some of you more than others, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I know for a fact there are many people here today that received an invite to join us, and they are here, praise God. And so if you're visiting with us today, let's clap. If you are visiting with us today, boy, we're glad you're here. If it's your first time, even more so. If you just come occasionally with us, we could not be more thrilled to be celebrating the Lord's resurrection with you today. So thank you for being here. For those that invited your friends, your family, a neighbor, thank you for doing that. Last week, as I gave one last plea to invite people, Anne Marie, who was just up here singing a few minutes ago, she took one of the bags and she said, I'll do it. And she took her bag and she was in a grocery store line or a pharmacy line and she decided to give the bag to the cashier. She had a good conversation. She said, I would like to invite you to join with us at church. And it really made an impact on the cashier. So I want to thank Anne Marie for doing that. But more than that, I want to give you the line that Anne Marie shared. As she gave the gift bag to this cashier and walked away, the thought came to her. She goes, I had really worked myself up for this. I guess that she was a little uneasy. And she said, I had this realization. This really was much easier than I ever thought. So congratulations, Anne Marie, and for all those that were willing to try and increase the audience today, so to speak, so that together we could celebrate the Lord's goodness. It's important that we think about life and we think about resurrection in Christ, and we're going to do a little bit of that today. I'll probably surprise you. The majority of my message is actually not going to be about the resurrection itself. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But we are reminded, even in the last 24 hours, is our friend Bill Clark lost his younger brother, and he passed away, I think, within the last 24 hours, Bill. And so we think about even today, as we celebrate life, we live in a world that is not paradise. And death continues in the physical world. And so that is a reminder. We have our hearts to go to the Clark family thinking about that. And yet we also think of things like the fact that last Sunday I said to you, for those of you that were here, we were talking about one of our longest standing members, Ted Brower, was very close to going home to be with the Lord last Sunday. And yet late last Sunday night, Ted indeed did go home to be with the Lord. He is no longer imagining. Kay, I just rejoice with you. We have multiple emotions at a time like this, but dear sister, we rejoice because he is risen. Your husband lives today. Amen for that. And I could go around the room and talk about that to all those who have lost loved ones that know Christ. There will be a reunion. You will be with them again, and we will spend eternity with Christ. First point being with Christ and then with our loved ones. So we do celebrate the Joe Schlick and Chuck Cusick and others that have passed and are now in the presence of the Lord because he lives. This is why these banners were so important to us, that we would see some of your thoughts, and I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But praise God, because he lives, we will also live. That is certainly the theme of today, but we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction. If I could invite you just to bow your heads and pray with me, and let's ask the Lord to do something for himself, for his own namesake, that he would exalt himself this morning in our midst. Let's pray. Father, what a joy it is to gather with your people and with friends. Father, what a joy it is to celebrate this particular day. Lord, this is really, in a sense of Passion Week, this would be the eighth day. In a real sense, this is a new beginning, a new creation. Jesus rose from the dead. He is the first fruits. This is new, what we celebrate, in the sense of a new life came as Christ came out of that grave. Father, we celebrate his resurrection and all that it means and the impact that it has had on all of our lives. We celebrate because this authenticated everything that he said. It made us understand that all of the promises now could come true and were true. It reminds us that you were pleased with his sacrifice, the Passover lamb shedding his blood on behalf of lost sinners. Father, because of his resurrection, his life has been authenticated. He has pleased you. He has accomplished all that he came to do. He has brought new life to all those who call upon him. Father, and we could go on and on, because the real easy answer, the summation of these two banners next to me, is what happens because he lives everything. And so, Lord, we ask that you would guide our time, that each and every heart here would be thrilled that we serve a risen Savior. And Father, if there would be anybody visiting with us today that does not know you in a saving way, we pray, Father, that this is a resurrection day and that new life would happen in this very room as it did on Friday night. Praise you for that, Lord. So, Father, would you now bring us closer to you? We would commune with you in your word. We would be thrilled at what we celebrate. And, Father, would we be reminded of what its meaning has for us as it relates to our daily lives. So we give this time to you and pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If Jesus rose from the dead, then we are to obey everything he said. Let me say it differently. If Christ is risen today, and he is, then we must believe everything he said. If he did not rise from the dead, then why does anything he said matter? As a matter of fact, nothing I say matters if he didn't rise from the dead. But he did. He did. So today, my goal is not to convince you that Jesus rose from the dead. I am not here to do what would probably be a typical Sunday, Easter Sunday service, where I go through all the reasons people doubt that Christ rose from the dead and all the objections that we've heard or have been given. Frankly, I don't need to prove to you that Christ is risen. He did that himself. He did that himself, and we'll say a little bit about that. So this morning, we're going to take a little bit of a different track. We're not going to be in John 20. Our entire devotional study and prayer guide this week had us in the Gospel of John. That's where we'll be. If I was to read John 20, that would be the account of that early Sunday morning. I'm not going to do that. We're going to go back a little bit to the night before in John chapter 14. And I encourage you to turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Those of you that remember the Lord of the Rings trilogy, if you know that series well, you also remember Sam Gamgee. At the end of that movie, at the climax of the trilogy, Lord of the Rings, Sam Gamgee discovers that his friend Gandalf was no longer dead as he had thought he was, but Gandalf was alive. Sam Gamgee cries, "I thought you were dead, but then I thought I was dead myself." And think of this line. And Sam says this, "I thought you were dead, but then I thought I was dead myself. Is everything sad going to come untrue? Is everything sad going to become untrue?" The answer of Christianity, Tim Keller says, is the answer to that question is yes. Everything sad is going to come untrue. And somehow be greater for having once been broken and lost. Did you hear that? Everything is going to become sad. Everything sad is going to become untrue. But it will be better because of what was once broken or lost. John chapter 14. Just a side note, as you all either found your place or ready to read with me, somehow or another, in my eighth or ninth year at Perry Hall, I always manage at least half the time to have some sort of illness on Easter. It's quite fascinating, actually. Today being no exception. You can see the sweat pouring and me coughing, and I wouldn't miss being with you, though, for the world. And the Lord has always allowed me to be here, no matter what. I don't know what the coincidence is. I don't know what the battle is. But I do know this, folks, and so just be praying along with me. It reminds me, I told Pastor Chris this morning, it reminds me that this is not about me. That I can't do it today. It has to be about him. Can you all appreciate that? And I've noticed that the Lord sustains me. And so please put up with me today. I believe the Lord has something powerful for us. John 14, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, "Lord, We do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. If you would skip down to verse 15 with me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Oh, now, folks, the next two verses is the centerpiece of today's message. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Let's reread verse 23. Jesus answered, seems not to be the question asked that he's answering. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. We celebrate the resurrection today as we should. We understand that there has been stories that have put into question the empty tomb. Everything from stolen bodies in wrong locations and Jesus not really being dead. All of those are made up. The truth is the tomb was empty. The truth is Jesus really did rise from the dead. The truth is that you don't have to look much past the changed lives of the disciples. Yesterday, while I could not be there, the men's breakfast studied the topic with Mark Thayer leading. Of what was that Saturday? What was yesterday like? Jesus was crucified on Friday. Saturday was a silent day in many ways. Then Sunday was his resurrection. What was that day like? We can at least think with some logic that they were confused. They were lost their hearts. They were discouraged, despair, confused. Cowardice set in. But maybe as big as any of it, everything we thought was going to happen has now died with him. And I can assure you, they were not thinking of a resurrection possibility. That would have been their Saturday. That's why we end Friday night in a series, in a sense of solemnity, so that we can put ourselves in a frame of mind for Saturday and then for today. But as you go through that, what we do know that is after the resurrection, Jesus appeared. Jesus appeared at least 10 times. Jesus appeared 10 times post-resurrection before he ascended into heaven. Folks, this is historical accounts from eyewitnesses. He appears to Mary. He appears to the women. He appears privately to Peter. He appears to the 11, really 10, and minus Thomas. He appears again to the disciples, this time with Thomas. He appears to 7 on the shore and has breakfast, bread and fish, with 7 of his disciples. He appears to James, his brother. He appears to the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then where we have the Great Commission, he appears again in Matthew 28, at least to his 11, and very possibly at that very moment to 500 of his followers, alive when this is all written. In other words, folks, we celebrate a historical fact. Jesus, the incarnate one, God in human flesh, miracle of incarnation, now miracle of resurrection, he lives. The question for us today, depending on where you are in your journey of faith or lack thereof, is did he really rise? Yes, he really did. But maybe the bigger question is, what do we have to do to move past the exhilarating feelings that you all just shared with me, at least most of us, if not all of us, as we were singing these praise and worship songs, and you're exhilarated with this incredible sense of community and an incredible sense of victory. Jesus' death march was a victory march. His resurrection was a victory, it was a triumph, and we celebrate that together. And I think all of us could have a sense of the excitement, as Pastor Chris mentioned, and the thrill of a Savior that we believe in. He's alive today, and because he lives, hundreds of comments on these boards. I have to admit, I want to make a note of the great theologian who answered this question, because he lives, and it says, because he lives, God loves us so much. That's theologian Ellie Crack. That's a pretty good answer. Because he lives demonstrates how much he loves us. But here's the question for each member of Perry Hall, each regular attender of Perry Hall, and all the guests spread throughout this room. How do we move past simply celebrating once a year Easter? The sense of moving excitement in the room to living every day for him because he's within us. How do we make it a reality? And just, Joe, we don't just claim that we believe he's risen. What does it mean in your life? Millions believe he's risen, and many of those do not follow him. So this is an important day. And so what I'd like to do in just the next few minutes is we're exalting Christ, the risen Savior. He has demonstrated, here I am, see me, touch me, feel me. It is real. I am real. The God of the universe, by giving these post-appearances of his son, says, look at him. Isaiah 45:22 says, look unto Jesus and be saved. And that's what we do today. We exalt him. But in the passages I read, I actually want to just focus on something else. So go with me to chapter 13, verse 1. Just a few pages back, and I can read it. If you do not have a Bible with you, that's perfectly fine. This is chapter 13, and following is some of the most precious scripture in our entire Bible. It's not exclusive, but almost exclusively Jesus speaking. Chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and then he closes it out by praying in chapter 17. And I will tease you with this. In the fall, we will study Jesus' prayer in John 17. So this is this incredible section, the night before his death, his intimacy, his love for the disciples. But just read chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. And for those that joined us Friday night, Pastor Chris made very clear emphasis on Jesus in John 19:30 with the phrase, "It is finished," tetelestai. Same word, the end. He loved them to the end, not simply to the finish line, but to completion, to fullness, to wholeness, to purpose. He was going to love them to the end. And what I want you to see, folks, in the next few minutes, this is my main point today. We have just exalted Christ by celebrating that he is risen. He is God. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is the Kinsman Redeemer that we've studied. All of these things are true. We exalt him today. But we also take time now to look at his heart for his disciples, and by application, his heart for you and for me. Now, in same page here, if you look back a few verses, in chapter 12, verse 27, this is the Lord speaking in verse 27 of chapter 12. He says this, "Now is my soul troubled." Think of that. Jesus, our Savior, his soul is troubled. Turn to page forward, 13, chapter 13, verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit. Now, folks, Jesus was troubled. We understand he's human. He's God and he's human. He's troubled. There's inner turmoil. There's this not because he's not going to do the Father's will, not because he's not about his Father's business, not because he's not going to accomplish all that he's called. There's this weight of the wrath of God coming and for the sins of the world. He's troubled. But listen, this is what I want us to see. Chapter 14, really chapter 13 through 17. But here in chapter 14, I want you to see that in the middle of Jesus' heart being troubled, what does he focus on? He focuses on his own. Look at verse 1 now. We'll come to the passage. "Let not your hearts be troubled." Isn't that something? "My soul's troubled. I'm hurting," he says. "I've been telling you for a long time, disciples, I'm going to die and fulfill the scriptures. I'm going to be buried and I'm going to rise again to fulfill all the scriptures, to conquer sin and Satan and death. But right now," Jesus said, "I'm thinking about you." He says in verse 2, "In my Father's house," he gives a list of promises. "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so," he says, "I wouldn't tell you it. I am preparing a place." He promises there is going to be eternity. Look what he says here. "I will go," in verse 3, "if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and I will take you to myself." He promises them that they will be with him forever. But he keeps going, and even though Thomas is not 100% sure, speaking for the others, in verse 6, to answer Thomas's question, he says, "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He's promising eternal life. He's promising them that he is the way to eternal life. The rest of the chapter, all the way through 16, then focuses on this other amazing promise, because he loves them, and that is that he is going to send his Spirit. Look at verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper." Jesus is the first helper, the another helper, the paraclete, the comforter. "He will be with you forever." He's the Spirit of truth. Now, here, see this. This is the promise. If you're a believer, you have God living in you. Not like the world talks about all that. Not that you're little gods or anything. We literally, through the Spirit of Christ, Christ in us, there is a mystical union. If you're a believer, Christ lives in you and you live in him. By the way, just a thought, when you treat another believer wrongly, when you're unkind to another believer, you are doing that to Christ because he lives in them. And so he promises his spirit, which will come soon, and he promises to give his spirit to comfort them and to guide them and to convict them and to teach them and to grow them. But most of all, he says, I will be with you forever. I am going to be with you. And then in verse 18, this promise of, if really of adoption, again, hear the heartbeat of Christ, his love for his disciples. I will not leave you as orphans. He's not going to leave them comfortless, as some translations say. He says, I will come to you again. We don't have time to work through some of the challenges of the next verse, but here verse 19, yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Now, I don't know if I can tell you exactly what that means when he says the world will not see me, but you will see me. It's possible Jesus means when I come again in glory, you will see me again. That's my promise. Maybe that's what he means. You will see me again. Maybe what he means is in 3 days, I'm going to rise again and you will see me. That's very possible. Or what he means is because I live within you and the Spirit will come and you will be together. We will be together forever. We will never be separated again, he says. Maybe that's what he means, that they will see him. It's interesting, and again, I'm not going to get off track, but the word for see in this chapter changes. Originally, the word for see is a word hareo, which is how we would typically think of seeing, that I can see Bob in the front row. But when it says here, you will see me, he changes it from hareo, is a Greek word for see, he changes it to thereo, where we get theater, where we get the word theory. And it's a different kind of seeing. It's an observing, it's a contemplating, it's even an analytical viewing with an idea for intent and purpose. Something changes, but nonetheless, I don't know if it matters ultimately where you come down. It seems to be the most logical thing is that what he means by see me has maybe multiple applications, but certainly what it means is when the Spirit of God comes to live within us, we will see him for who he truly is. But I don't want us to miss something, folks. We're, so to speak, spiritually exhilarated today. But in this passage, the Lord says in several places, he describes this world that we live in, and he splits it, not by population on the left, population on the right. He seems to split the world of humankind in two. He says that you will see me, you're mine. You're my followers. That application includes everybody in this room sitting here today. We see him with spiritual eyes because we are his and he lives within us. But part two, he says the world does not see you or see me. And so while we do come today to celebrate, something's very important here is Jesus doesn't separate people the way we do. He doesn't say the world's separated by race or color or ethnicity or the haves and the have-nots and where you live. None of that is what he's focused on here. What he's focused on, there are those that see him and those that don't see him. Those that see him and those that don't see him. And so because he loves them so much and he loves all those that through their message and through the scriptures will come to know him, he then says something very important. Verse 20. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Again, that could mean when they see Jesus after his resurrection. It could mean when they see him with the eyes of the Spirit. By the way, we're speaking here, folks, in spiritual terms. Did you know when we look at people, we may look at them as their vocation. We may look at people and say, well, they look physically this way, or their achievements. That's the physical, what John calls the flesh, looking through the flesh. But we also look at people spiritually. Are we followers of Christ? Do we know the risen Savior? Does Christ live within us? And we look at people. And so let me just say this. I hope everybody you meet that you do not know, you look past all the physical, the fleshly, and you looked at what's the spiritual condition of their heart. What is the spiritual condition? Do they know Christ, or are they lost? But he goes on to say this. This is so important, verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. He says the same thing in a very different way, a little bit different way in verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That last phrase that the Lord says, if you love me and my Father loves you, and we are all one, and Christ in us and us in Christ, and we love him and we keep his words and we keep his commandments, it says he will come and make his home with us. This is another promise to the disciples. Back in verse 2, some of your translations say Jesus says, in my Father's house there are many rooms, there are many dwellings, even some old translations, mansions. The same word in verse 2, mone, home, abode, dwelling, is the same word in verse 23 for when Christ says, I will come to you, I will come to you, and we will make our home with you, our abode, our dwelling. This is a sense, folks, in this sense, in verses 1 through 6, Jesus is talking about taking them to heaven. But in verse 23, he's bringing heaven through the Spirit to them to make their home with him. Another promise. But here, let's listen to this language very, very carefully. If you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you will keep my words. And I will love you, and my Father will love you. Do you feel the weight of that? Oh, it feels good today, doesn't it, to stand with family and sing loudly and sing praises and offer worship together, and then maybe to spend some time later together. All of that, we had a beautiful choir. We have everything that we should have to praise God well today on this special day, including this beautiful setup here. But these promises are for those that know and love him. Folks, let's just be clear. These promises aren't first and foremost for people to go to church. They're not first and foremost for simply those that give and serve and try to live a good life. That all comes with it, yes. But he doesn't say that. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so I want you to see there is a difference between keeping the commandments. There's a difference between doing what you're supposed to do. That's different than loving him. So here we see that we've exalted Christ today because he's the risen Savior. We've exposed the kind, loving heart of Christ for his disciples. And for all of us, as he makes these promises to us, promises that you will live forever, promises that you will be forever with me, promises of new birth for those that come to know him, promises that he will live within you by his Spirit, that we have the living Christ within us. All these promises, we have been adopted, we're no longer orphans. That's what we call not only exalting Christ, but exposing his heart. But these two questions, folks, these expose our heart. This idea, do we love him so much that we keep his commands? Do we love him so much that we keep his words? This is where the rubber meets the road. The world does not know him. The world does not see him. The world does not have the Spirit. Only those who know Christ. Romans 5:8. When did he start loving us? Romans 5:8. But God commends his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. His love manifested prior to us loving him. 1 John 4:19, who loved who first? Him loving us. So here, let's finish the point. Do you love him? Not that you say you love him. Not that you simply follow a list of do this and do that, all good. But do you love him? Do you love him? In other words, do you have growing affections for who he is? See, the real test of a follower of Christ is this affection and desire and love and for the beauty of Christ. It's so much bigger than one Sunday. Don't kid yourself because you made it out today. The bigger question is, do you love him? And now listen, obeying his commands, obeying his words, flow. They don't make us beloved. They flow out of gratitude because of what he's done. And then we live lives of obedience, faithfulness to the community. This, folks, is the most important thing today. Yes, he has risen. But knowledge of his resurrection did not save you or will not save you. But a brokenness that says, I am in desperate need of a Savior. And my Savior is Jesus Christ. And because of what he did on Calvary, shedding his blood for my sins, facing the abandonment of his Father, sacrificing, humbling himself, giving everything for those who in faith and repentance would cry out and say, I need you. There is no other Jesus. I wonder even now when we worship Jesus, the risen Savior, which Jesus is it? Is it the Jesus of your idols? Is it Jesus of your political world? Is it Jesus that makes you happy? Is it Jesus that it's a cosmic bellhop? Is it Jesus that you rub whatever it's called for the genie? The bottle, that's it, it's a bottle. It's a bottle, it's a hard word. Or is it this and the only Jesus? This Resurrection Sunday, folks, we exalt the risen Savior. He is risen indeed. He proved it. Jesus said, look at me. His Father said, look at me. And he gave proof. He gave proof in the changed life of his disciples. He gave proof in the changed life of the murderous Saul to Paul on the road to Damascus. He gave proof even when he appeared to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. Do we love him? And is your love evidenced by following his commands? Which ones, Dave? I follow all the commandments. I'm not a murderer. I don't steal. I don't have any idols in my house. I'm not coveting anybody's stuff. Some of that I think we're lying already. How about this? Follow me wherever I go. Praise me in any circumstance. Submit to my will over yours. Follow my agenda over yours. Love, back in chapter 13, verse 34, love like I have loved you. So the message of the resurrection is, yes, indeed, it's a historical fact. Jesus rose from the dead. The changed lives of the disciples, the changed life of Paul. And doggone it, folks, if you're a Christian in here, how about your changed life? What do you attribute that to? You attribute it to the risen Jesus, that power that lives within us. Because he's risen, we'll close if you just turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Revelation 2, and I will close in just the next 2 minutes. I had a conversation with my daughter Addison yesterday. I said, Addie, help me out with my sermon tomorrow. Why do you think it's challenging for a preacher to preach Easter service? Why is it challenging, Addie, to preach an Easter service? And of course, at first she thought about it, and I had to nudge her, and she came up with all the right answers. But the first one she came up with, which was dead on, she said, well, Dad, everybody in the audience is familiar with everything you're going to say. It's true, isn't it? Every one of you, even if you only join us once in a while, and that's not a judgment upon you, we would hope you would see something so attractive, you would see our love be so contagious, you just want to hang out with us and know more about the risen Christ. But she said, we're all familiar. Every one of you is familiar with the story. Interestingly enough, though, that studies show that only 47% of evangelicals really believe he came back to life. I mean, that's because you got your terms messed up. 100% of believers know that he rose. 47% of professing. Another story. I said, Addie, let's go deeper. It's not just that it's familiar. That is a challenge. But what else would it be? And we talked through it. Talk through it a little bit more. And I've preached 8 sermons here now for Easter. You've heard them all. Pastor, what are you going to do new this year? Chris and I were talking, how do you preach the most important events of church history? Everything, Chris, around these events on Friday. How do you preach that? Maybe, though, why it's so challenging is because in our familiarity, in our churchiosity, in our repetition, there becomes a sense we lose the majesty of who the risen Savior is. And the pastor feels compelled, probably wrong, I guess it's right and wrong, to try to make sure that we see that. And yet today, you know what I really want you to see? That his heart for his disciples, his love, his promises to them, his comfort even in his last days, his heart was for them. Oh, folks, this story exposes his heart. This story exposes our heart. If we're not thrilled by this story, that exposes your heart. If you don't realize that death is over, then you've missed the story. If you don't realize your suffering and your heartaches are temporary and light, you've missed the story. As a matter of fact, if you're not thrilled today, you're missing something. Revelation 2, end of the story. We'll be done. Revelation 2. Verse Verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear. The Spirit says to the churches, to one who conquers or overcomes, I will grant to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Guys, because he lives, we will live with him forever in a place called heaven, a new world, paradise, not here. Verse 17 of the same chapter, to a different church, he who has ears, let him hear. The Spirit says to the churches, to the one who overcomes or conquers, I will give him hidden manna. That's Jesus. Jesus. Heaven, because he lives, we will be with Jesus. Chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 12. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of God. Where will we spend eternity? In the presence of God. He is with us now. He has made his abode. He is dwelling with us. We will spend eternity with him. Verse 21, chapter 3. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on the throne. We will be with him in heaven. We will be with him, the risen Savior in heaven. We will be the support group of his temple, his presence, his dwelling place, and we will sit on a throne. Last thought. If indeed you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, not facts, you have a relationship with Christ, this world is the closest you'll ever be to hell. If you're a believer, this is the closest you'll ever be to hell. If you sit here today and you are not a true believer in Jesus Christ, this is the closest you'll ever be to heaven. And this isn't heaven. May we turn to the risen Savior today, exalting him because he's who he said he was, and he offers salvation to all who call upon him. May that be our heart prayer today. Let's pray. Father, you loved us so much that you sent your son. Father, you loved us so much that you allowed him to come and to become a man, to live a life that we could not live, to die the death on a cross, a bloody cross, on a rough-hewn cross, Lord, for all the sins of all of us. And yet, Father, you love us so much for those of us who put our faith and trust in you that we really love him. You've allowed us to have a relationship through faith and repentance in Christ. Father, for all of us here today, we look forward. This is not paradise. We will be with Jesus for eternity because he's risen. It changes everything. All that is sad has become untrue in Christ. And yet, Father, in a room this size, there are some here that have never been willing to commit their lives. They're fine giving mental assent to the facts of Christianity. But, oh, Father, would you discomfort them even now? And may they see their lostness, and may they cry out to the risen Savior who really did rise again so that we could have life and we could have it abundantly. Oh, Father, may there not be one heart here that is not touched in some way by the love and grace of a Savior that on the night of his betrayal, the night before he would give his life, his heart was for us. His heart was for us. Expose our hearts, Lord, in whatever way they need to be exposed. And be glorified to do it in such a way that it is unmistakable. Draw people to yourself this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. Mm-hmm.
awesome stuff. Hey, folks, we're about ready to go. Flowers, if you would like to come and grab a flower, they're, I think, about 10 bucks. You simply take the flower of your choosing out to the hallway behind us near the information center, and you can pay for your flower there. I also just want to see if I could get our friend Grace Womack to raise her. Is Grace still in the building? Wave back here. Open heart surgery the day after I saw her on a video walking steps. Praise God for his work in her life. Hey folks, let's live today because he's risen and you know Christ. May we live with a risk-taking, death-defying boldness and be like Anne Marie when Anne Marie said, this was easier than I thought. I had worked myself up. Oh, may we be bold witnesses because of the risen Savior today. Go in peace. Have a wonderful day. Praise him today throughout all that you do. But tell somebody about the risen Savior. Father, take us out of here with, in a sense, this reckless abandon. We want the world to know. May we not see people simply for the physical, but in each person we meet, may we wonder about their spiritual state. Father, we want this to be a new day for all of us. Overcome by your love, excited by having your life in us. Father, your life in us. We live because you live within us and make us bold. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a great day.